I kind of decided that we wanted to be there and represent the church. But I appreciate that family, and I appreciate Brother Ray. Boy, he could do anything. His son, David, did an excellent tribute to his dad. And he said, my dad could do all these things. And every time I tried to learn them, he'd say, don't worry about it, David. I'll take care of it for you. And so Brother Ray could be a mechanic. He raised birds, and he had a job that was real technical, I think, with machining or motors. And so he had a lot of talents and a lot of abilities. And we certainly will miss him. But I thought Audrey sang Amazing Grace a cappella that was just beautiful. And David's tribute and then the message that his pastor delivered was just absolutely awesome. Today is my mom and dad's 68th birthday or anniversary. May the 7th was always special. And it's my grandmother's birthday, and I don't know how many that would be. I could figure it out if I'd have thought about it. She had her 80th in 84, 85. So add on to that, and you'll see about how old she would have been. And grandma passed away, I think, when she was 87. My dad always said the best birthday present she ever got was him getting married to mom on her birthday. I never heard grandma say that. But Dad said that. And then also I learned today that another cousin, Connie, who had passed away, was born on that day, on this day as well. My Uncle Bud went to be with the Lord this morning, and so he got in on all of the celebrations that's going on in heaven with all these people that have gone on before. And I'm thankful that we have a confidence that when we're through here, we have eternity with the Lord. That's such a blessing. Who's got page one? Becky, you know the name of the sermon then. And it is Repent. Debbie and I have been listening to a lot of different, we're reading a book by Ed Silvoso, and Brother Connor has copies of two different writers with the same title. And we listened to Jimmy Swaggart and some great messages that they've preached, great, great messages. And one of them that was just really stood out to me was that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that, you know, we must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Sometimes I feel guilty for wanting him to provide, you know, and to give, but he's a rewarder. It's his idea. We've got to believe that he's able to do that and that he's not only able but willing. One of the scripture that we read last week in Bible study in Isaiah 40 in chapter 3 said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Some of the straightest roads I've ever been on have been in the desert. How many's ever been on a straight road in the desert? They may have a few little bumps, right? But boy, it's straight, nice and straight through the desert. All flat ground. They didn't have to go around too much. And it's very straight. But this is a special scripture to me. Brother Connor, would you ask the blessing on the word tonight?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for us to be able to gather and to hear your word. I ask, Lord, that you anoint and minister to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen.
Praise God. Just before coming to service, I read that verse that Debbie read, verse 13 in 2 Chronicles 7. And I thought, wow, that is really, really powerful. And then she quoted it, and it's still a very powerful voice. God said, if I clobber you with no rain or locust or what, if I bring judgment upon you, if you'll call on my name and turn from your wicked ways. So what is that? repenting. That's repenting. And I'll get to the definition of that in a minute. But this scripture that I read out of Isaiah 40 years ago, I really felt the Lord lead me to think that my ministry would be, and it's not been all that I expected it to be. I thought by now I'd have two or three Bible colleges and, a network of churches, at least a network of churches. Probably not anything near what Brother Kincaid has, but a little bit more than I've done. But that the Lord has called me as a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, it sounds like my voice should be in the wilderness doing the crying. But the idea is in a dark and a tough place, telling people to prepare the way of the Lord. What are we going to do? How are we going to repair? We're going to repair by taking care of our hearts to both accept salvation and receive the ongoing ministry of the Lord and of the Word of God, and do everything that we can to make straight His way in our lives. And the way that we're going to start that is by repenting. I'm going to jump ahead and read the definition out of Webster's. Repent, number one, is to feel contrite. Four, I'm not going to fill in any blanks for you. You have to fill in your own blanks. To regret, or just the word regret. Number two is to be penitent. Four, and determined to change for the better. How many has ever done that on your own, determined to change for the better? And how many has gone about 3 or 4 hours and then the better, it seems to be put aside and we stay with, you know, the worse, perhaps. But if we repent before God, He will help us to stay with the change and to keep our hearts right before Him. So these are a verb. The definitions are the repent, a verb. The noun is repentance and the adjective is repentant. But I want us to read, and Sister Becky has page one. I want us to read what, because this Isaiah foreshadows John the Baptist. And then again, it foreshadows Elijah in the last days during the tribulation and before the Lord reveals Himself to Israel. Becky, would you read those verses, 1 through, I think, 8? Isn't that neat? And I think that John the Baptist in his ministry of preparing the way before Jesus coming to the earth, and his ministry actually, not his coming, but he was already here and John was getting ready to introduce him. And we see that in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 29 when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." And so John the Baptist was a cool-looking preacher. He wore camel's hair. I mean, you know, maybe today if we saw him, we wouldn't think of that. But how many remember the 70s? Evangelists, coats, sports jackets that were absolutely a disaster. I mean, those coats had more color. They had less style. They were awful. I wore white breeches, white shoes, and a big old white belt. Didn't help you at all to preach any better. I mean, if anything, it probably distracted people. But that was the style, and the bell bottoms and all that. And we used to dress like that and make fun of John the Baptist. And I think we need to leave John alone, because he dressed the way that he wanted to, and the way that, as it was prophesied, that he would come. And he wasn't one of those fancy dudes, but he preached the straight word of God: repent and make the way that the Lord is coming, make a way in your heart for him, repent of your sins, and the Lord, and he baptized them in the water, in the Jordan River. Now, this is just the first reading. We're going to go on to Luke. Who has Luke? Luke 3. Sherry, would you read that for me, please? Now, I thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Becky, for reading. Thank you so much. And Donnie, thank you after you've read. I wanted to read all three of these accounts because I think there's always a little something. Now, verse 1 here, we left that out because it's a, you know, historic things and about who's this and who's that. We still have Annas and Caiaphas that were the high priests, but and the son-in-law of the high priest. But we have John, and it said the word of God came to John. John was filled with the Spirit in his mother's womb. And amazing how that God protected him, prepared him. And when the word of God came to John, he got going. And he went after preaching. This wasn't an easy message, and we know that he preached so straight of a message that he was beheaded for it, because he didn't mess with sin. And it didn't matter to him who was sinning and trying to get away with something. All he cared about was making the path straight before the Lord. And I believe that this is more of the book of Isaiah chapter 40. It goes a couple of verses more, and it talks about the valley being filled and the mountain being and hill being brought low and the crooked places made straight. And so it really talks about getting rid of all the things that are in the way, all the things that are perhaps trash that would get in the way of the Lord really working through us. How many wants to be the best vessel you can for Jesus? Amen. Amen? Amen. You want God working through you as best as he can. Not that you want to be better than someone else. Not that you certainly don't want to be less than someone else. But that we are used as much as we as individuals can be used. So again, repentance plays such an important part, but keeping our heart right and keeping the road straight. I don't want to get on roads in California and taxes and all that, because it'll just aggravate you, and I don't want to aggravate you. That's not reasonable, right? And so we've got the worst roads. We pay the most taxes. You go into some of these what we might call lesser states, and you drive on beautiful pavement. That's wonderful. So we don't want to aggravate ourselves. We got to drive on these roads. But in our lives, we want to do the same thing. We want to make sure all the holes are filled and everything's as straight as it can be for the Lord. Our last reading is in the book of John, chapter 1, and Don's going to read that for us. 19 through 28.
Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him,
They said, and they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptized."
So here's another account of the same story pretty much, and it also follows up from Isaiah 40. If you have a reference Bible, it'll take you from Isaiah 40 to Malachi, I think, chapter 3 and verse 1, and then go on to the Gospels, where in Mark, Luke, and John, it has an account of John the Baptist. And it's amazing to me how they were kind of picking on John a little bit, asking him all these questions. I believe with all my heart that John answered just like that. I don't believe he told him a lot. He said yes and no, and I'm not, I am. And who are you? Well, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, do you think that today is less of a wilderness than there was back in the days of Jesus? I kind of doubt it. I think we're in a wilderness too. And we all have the same calling, and that is to teach the world to get ready because Jesus is coming. It's not the same as Elijah that will come during the tribulation period. Our message is that Jesus is coming in the sky, and he's not touching the earth during that time, but he's coming to rapture or catch away the church. That's our message. That's our message. We, the church, we, whoever the church is, not just Calvary Temple and not just any other church, we all have the same commission. And that's to get people ready because Jesus Christ is going to come. And we're not going to see, a lot of fanfare. We're going to hear a trumpet and then we're going to be gone. I think the world is going to blink and miss it. I think it's going to happen fast. We don't have time at that point to get ready. We have to be ready now, and we have to help others see the light. There's so much darkness in the world. And I'm thankful that not only are we Calvary Temple preaching the truth and have the gospel message, but there's a lot of churches that are doing well. Debbie and I were watching the Kentucky Derby yesterday. Always Dreaming was number one. But as we were watching, we had I have a clock, old clock that I wound up, and it's making chiming noises. Debbie said it's not pretty, but I think it sounds okay. And she said, "That's not the clock, that's the doorbell." So I got up and answered the doorbell. And the doorbell sounds good too. And the lady gave us some cookies and said, "We're having a church down at the school tomorrow. We'd like you to join us." Now, they were beautiful cookies. They're beautiful cookies. After trying one, I told Debbie, if we gave out Audrey's cookies, we'd probably get more people in church because those are not only beautiful cookies, they taste good too. But I'm thankful for people that are preaching the truth and that are making an effort, and that's our job as well. Now, how do you preach repentance to people that's been saved several years? I was going to say 150, but I knew that might make someone mad. No, we've been saved a good while. And you're not sinners like out in the world that need to hear this the way they do. But we'd still need to hear repentance for ourselves in the way that can benefit us, right? And benefit our lives. Repentance is necessary for salvation. No one no matter what anybody says. Even if the Pope confers it, nothing takes the place of repentance to gain salvation. Nothing. No other way. No other way than Jesus, and no other way than repentance. We've got to believe in Him and believe that His sacrifice on the cross and His resurrection power is what saves us. Excuse me. Repentance is absolutely necessary. So we've all come that way. We've all started the same way with repentance. I wish I had written down the night I was saved. I wish I could tell you it was so-and-so month, so-and-so day of the month, and what year it was. Well, I know what year it was. It was 1960, because I was 8 years old. God spoke to Evan the other night on May the 3rd, 2017. And I said, you got to write these things down, because as a young guy, it'll be so much of a blessing to him as time goes on. I don't remember. I remember it was a Tuesday night, and I remember the Lord said, you need to go get saved. And I was kind of, what are you talking about? I've been going to church all my life. I'm kind of like here. And the Lord said, you need to go there to the altar and get saved. And I did. And one thing I know about salvation, it's real.
Yes.
Brother Connor, didn't you mention that this morning?
Yes.
You have to know when you're saved. It's not osmosis. I've had a few people that come in and I thought, no, it's not osmosis. You know the time that you gave your heart to the Lord. The Bible and Jesus in His prayer said, forgive us this day our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. And those are both good thoughts. A daily repentance and also a daily forgiveness. Because there's people that, boy, they don't deserve it, but we need to forgive them. Amen? They really don't have it coming. Maybe they didn't even ask. But it's not good for us to hold anything up like that. That hurts our lives. There's a sin battle that goes on. One of the teachings that we heard about this week is part of the faith teaching, and they believe that you accept the grace of God when you're saved and you never repent. That if you repent, you're really upsetting the plan of God. You're throwing it out the window. That's heresy if you ever repent. Well, then why didn't someone tell Jesus that? Then He wouldn't have included it in the Lord's Prayer. We know that that's not true and that that's just a false teaching. Now, who's behind a false teaching like that? Oh, I would think the devil would be. Why? Because he doesn't want people right with God. And he knows that repentance puts you in the perfect spot for God's blessing and God's power. Repentance will bring revival. Repentance will lead to praise and worship. Excuse me. And I think that's my third point. So I have 3 points. I like 3 points. 1, 2, 3. It makes it easy for me. So the point is, number one, repentance necessary for salvation. Number two, repentance is good to do daily. And number three, repentance will lead to praise and worship and revival, because the scripture that Debbie mentioned out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, that when my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, the Lord's laying down a place or a means of getting back in His good graces. If we're going to please God, we're going to have faith in Him, believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So repentance opens the door to praise and worship, and praise and worship opens the door to miracles. So how about Calvary Temple? I already said, you guys repented a long time ago. Some of you might have repented about the time I was being born. That's a long time. A lot of years. But still, we have to have in our heart a contrite spirit before God on a daily basis. So I'm not trying to beat anyone up. I'm just saying this is a good way for us to make sure that our life, our heart, is as straight and clear for the Lord to come in and to minister to us and lift us up. We need lifting up. And so able to touch us and heal us when we need healing. And able to strengthen our lives and give us direction. Yes. I think the greatest thing that we could have is a revelation of Christ like we've never had before. I think that would just so be a blessing to us. So we are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to say anything that would take away from anyone standing with the Lord. You're in good shape. God loves you and you're saved and you're born again. A number of years ago, and I don't even remember when, I looked it up one time, but it's a long time ago. The Lord laid on my heart that this Calvary Temple is a healing place. That was a long time ago. And I believe that. Yeah. You know why? Because we fought a battle against false teaching so that the Lord's Word would have such a precious place in the church, so that the Word of God and the truth would have such a powerful place and a place of honor in the church. And I believe that opens a door for the healing power of God to touch lives. But I also would like to see us be a filling place. How many knows what I'm talking about? A filling place. Years ago, when I was a kid, my dad would go to the filling station. I said, what a filling station? He was going to get gas. And we watch all kinds of old movies on Hallmark, and they're all in small towns. And they've all got that general store. Yeah. They've got the beautiful big house out in the country where you have 50 acres of property, and that's so wonderful. That's just great what they show. And then they probably have a filling station somewhere like Gomer's or Goober's filling station in Mayberry. But a filling station for us as a church is where people can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the devil has fought that in these last years. How many see what I'm saying? You remember when we were younger, we used to see people filled with the Holy Ghost all the time? And the devil is so fighting that. Why is he fighting that? Because he doesn't want people to gain any more power. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have an extra measure of power that you've never known before. Now, of course, I believe that is with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I've almost got ready to duke it out with somebody that would disagree with that, because I feel so strongly about that. And I'm praying that the Lord will help me not to be so hateful. But it's in the Bible. And I don't want to change the Bible to fit someone's little whatever doctrine. I don't buy that at all. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and this is what John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water. But he that's coming after me, whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to undo, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that's the job of the Lord, and he is the one. The qualification to be filled is absolutely repentance. It's absolutely repentance and being right with the Lord. And then the Spirit of God can flow. So repentance is important in our lives because it opens the door for the Holy Spirit of God to come down with fire and power. And then the Holy Spirit. Now, Brother Connor read a scripture out of 1 Corinthians or 2nd? First Corinthians, that talked about the supernatural power of God. Not enticing words of man's wisdom, not yada, 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 not just filler talk, but coming, saying the words that are powerful, that are supernatural, that are uplifting, that are absolutely of God's Spirit. And all of that supernatural is where the Holy Spirit starts us off. Without the Holy Spirit, you can forget supernatural. You're not going to see it. But that's the starting of supernatural. the Holy Spirit. The operation of all of that, whatever God's doing, is through the Holy Spirit. And it's the end, the finish, the completion of any great miracle or any great work is the Holy Spirit. Have you ever imagined, I'm going to close, that's pretty quick, right? I don't know when I started, but it's fairly soon. Debbie, you want to come to the piano? And I'm going to cheat and read one verse out of our lesson Wednesday. The last one, Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How many could use some renewed strength? We all could. And some renewal in healing, some renewal in, I mean, there's certain things we could have replaced by the Lord that would really help us out. Knew this, knew that. So they'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. Wow, eagles are powerful. They can go way high and they can come down quickly to their prey. They'll run and not be weary. I used to run and not be too weary. I'd get weary, but not too weary, because I worked on it. I remember running cross country, and we had a couple of guys come out, and they worked out with us for 2 days, and then they went to the cross country race up in the hills in Oakland. I remember those guys getting on the bus. They still were breathing so hard, I thought, they're going to die. We were already recouped because we had been doing this so long. We were in good shape, and these guys were on the bus. That's like 20 minutes after the meet. We were going down the road, and I don't know, they probably caught up by the time we got back to the school. But to run and not be weary, I'd give a lot for that today. And walk and not faint. Life has a way of depleting us, but the Spirit of God has a way of pumping us up and giving us life and giving us strength. So we're going to pray. Because I know where we all are on a Sunday night after a big weekend, just stay right where you're at. Because this I know about the Holy Spirit, He can move on us wherever we are. And I would just want us to pray. Pray that prayer of yielding, Lord, more of your Holy Spirit. Lord, let's pray together. Lord, we repent as a body. We repent. We open our hearts to you and we ask your blood to cover every stain, every sin. We give our whole life to you. We pray, Lord, that you will minister now to each and every one of us. Lord, that you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit. Perhaps we're here and we haven't spoken in tongues in a week or two. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will just come down mightily and that we'll be filled again. As your word says, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you're the baptizer. Rain down. We need your strength. We open our heart. We, Lord, ask that you will help us to keep that very straight path within our life and within our heart. No trash, no obstacles, no mountains. Lord, you've removed them all. Oh, by the power of your Spirit and the power of your blood, renew us. I pray, Lord, for a touch for each and every one. Lord, renew, restore. Strengthen, oh God, the weary bodies that we have. Strengthen our legs and our arms, and Lord, touch our minds and give us restoration and strength, our memory. Lord, we give ourselves to you that you might build us up in the power of your Holy Spirit. Love him just for a minute tonight. We won't be long. Just love him for a minute. Holy, holy, holy. Holy Spirit, do the supernatural in us. You see the needs that we have, situations in our life. Lord God, we seem to be helpless in doing anything to even to make it through. But I pray that the power of your Spirit will open a new door, create a new way, give a new strength. In Jesus' name. Shoda makanda yara masai. Iliora makandai. Touch each body tonight, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. Touch each body. Renew, Lord. Renew, O God. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister supernaturally to our physical. Supernaturally to our physical body. Lord Jesus, to our work, our finances, our relationships, our places in life. Oh God, I pray. Supernatural to touch all that's natural. Orama arama kiriyaladidio siriyataladidio. Halleluya, kiri andaleluya, kitai. Shalalaleluya, ramakiri alaleluya, sikitiatai. We love you, Jesus. 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 Shura makandaleluya, siri aramakandaleluya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shora masiri andaleridia, kiri andaleridia, Jesus. Holy. Holy, 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 holy. Let's sing this chorus, if you would. I don't know if I can even get it started. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, that word wait doesn't mean just to sit idly by, but minister to the Lord. And like it says in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, as they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke, gave them directions on what to do and where to go. We want to see the supernatural. We want to see people filled with the power of God's Spirit. And we want to be filled. And that happens through time before the Lord, surrender. Holy God, we love you, Jesus. Holy God, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Connor said this morning the way he received the baptism was the Lord had spoke to him, just love me. And when he started loving the Lord, the Spirit just overwhelmed. Think of it like this. How many's ever played with a big beach ball? Receiving the Holy Ghost is about as easy as catching that beach ball. If you can fathom that and just love Jesus, I don't believe there's any devil that can stand in the way. Just, Lord, I love you, and with your sincere heart, and we're going to see things change because of what the Spirit does. God bless you. You can be dismissed as you feel you're through praying, or
our king already during the
okay.